ask you to go ahead and be seated tonight. You ever thought about what that song says in that last part of that chorus? My sins were washed away. Amen. What was it washed away with? It was washed away with the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody said to me, they said, preacher, has said, how can red blood wash as white as snow? I said, I don't know yet, but I know it sure has happened. Amen. And so, thank the Lord for His blessings tonight. If you would take the Word of God and turn with us to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. When I was a little boy and the preacher would tell us to turn to Colossians, I always thought he said, turn to your galoshes. And so, if you know what galoshes are, they're boots. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. And let's begin reading there and honor the Lord as we read. Beginning in verse 16 there. And we're going to actually read on into chapter 4 tonight. Beginning in verse 16 of Colossians chapter 3, he says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, as we come and approach your throne of grace, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We mostly thank you for your grace and the mercy through salvation that we've been able to receive. And, Father, the faith that we are to apply in you, we ask, God, that you would help us to continue to do that. We thank you, Father, for this evening and the service here at Calvary. And we ask, Lord, now that you might take charge here, undergird me and strengthen me, Lord, and stand with me. And, Lord, help this congregation to see Christ and not me standing here. Help them to hear your words and not my words. I pray, Father, tonight that you would speak to each and every heart here. And help us, Lord, to, as we approach this week, Lord, to be able to be led to someone that we can share Christ with. Lord, that we can be the Christian and the upstanding person that we should be here in this world, but, Father, also in America, and shine forth for you. These things we ask now in Jesus' name for his sake alone. Amen. Well, I want to speak to you tonight on a simple subject, and we're going to try to speak speedily to you tonight. And hopefully you can get out here in good time and go home and rest up for the week that's coming. Amen. I want to speak to you on the subject of the results of edification. The results of edification. Edification simply means to be built up. And we know that there are people in our world, they think of bodybuilding and so forth, and there's all kinds of things they do to prepare themselves to bodybuild. Lifting weights and so forth. When I was a young boy, I used to like to watch those weightlifters on TV when they used to have the the Olympic Games and all those things, and they'd lift them great big old barbells, you know, and it took such great strength to do that. But they didn't always, or had not always been able to do that. They had to prepare themselves. They had to work through things to get to that place where they could lift that kind of weight and do those kind of things. And so, just like with that, you also have to build up yourselves in our Christian life and the walk that we have with the Lord. And that's what God is teaching us here in Colossians. And so, to be edified or to be built up in the faith requires that a man or a woman be filled with the Spirit and be obedient to the Word. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we know that when we get saved, the Spirit comes into us. But sometimes we don't allow the Spirit to have full effect in our lives. And so to be able to be edifying and helping others to build up as well as you're being built, then the Lord tells us that it requires that the Spirit of God is strong within us and we have obedience to the Word of God. A person cannot be filled with the Spirit who is not obedient to the Word. So if you're not doing what God says in His Word, you're not going to be Spirit-filled, and you're not going to be able to build yourself up spiritually, and you're not going to be able to build anyone else up. So when we think about discipleship that we've been talking about on Wednesday nights, there's no way that you can be a true disciple and help lead someone to Christ and help them to grow as a Christian if you're not obedient to the Word of God yourself. And so we need to make sure that we're obedient to His Word. The Lord teaches a lot about obedience and talks a lot about obedience in the Scriptures. And so we need to make note of that and listen to things that He's saying to us. And so just a few thoughts tonight that I want to share with you. First of all, edification or building up requires dependence upon the Scriptures. If I am going to be built up tonight in a spiritual way, I must read and study the Scriptures. I must hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. If you would, look back with me in chapter 3 and verse 16. In verse 16, he says this, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And then notice what he says about that. He says, "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The first thing we find about building ourselves up is we need to get into the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. We need to be doing that on a daily basis, in the mornings and break times and every open time that you have to be reading and studying the Word of God. And what that does for us is it brings us to a point of wisdom. Look at 16 again. He says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." The Word of God is to make us wise. I've met people today that they think they're very smart. And some of them are very smart, but they're not too wise. And so wisdom is something that we need. And wisdom is something that truly, I believe, only comes from God. And so it brings that rich wisdom that we have. It gives us that leadership that we need to have. And then we also find in that first part, it is to be right in the Word of God. If you're studying the Word of God, you know what is right and you know what is wrong. And so then we are able then to build our lives and the foundation of our life on the Word of God so that we don't do the wrong things that are out there, because we have that strong foundation already. And when we have that strong foundation, it then allows us to stand upon that, but then it also allows us to know the right decision to make. And sometimes we're faced with perplexing decisions, aren't we? And the devil jumps on our shoulders or on our back or wherever he wants to jump at. And he tries to pull us one way or the other. And listen, dear friends, that old devil needs to know that you are a child of God, that you're a Christian, that you're right with God, that Jesus is your Savior, that He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, that He has already defeated that devil, and you need to just turn around to him and spit in his face and tell him to get away from you. Amen? Now, don't be spitting in anybody else's face except for the devil, okay? Because they'll turn right around and hit you. And I don't want to see y'all coming here with bloody noses and black eyes. So the preacher told me to spit in your face. No, I did not tell you that. I told you to spit in the devil's face. So edification requires dependence upon the Scripture. Every single day, we need to depend upon His Word. Secondly, tonight, over in the last part of verse 16 and also in verse 17, edification results in delightfulness in singing. Now, Sister Heather, I thank the Lord for our music program here that we have at the church. But listen, folks, when we sing, we need to sing delightfully. you know, when we're singing songs about God, and we're singing songs that says that we smile, and I look out in the congregation and I see frowns as we're singing songs about smiling. You know, remember that old song, if you're happy and you know it, what? Clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, and do all these things like this. Well, if we're really happy when we're singing these songs, if they're really blessing us, then why don't we have more smiles on our faces when we're singing them? Amen. Now, maybe you have a frown on your face because the person sat beside of you cannot sing a lick. That doesn't matter, you know. Just keep on singing and smile anyway. Sister Charlotte, why don't you look over at Linda? So edification, if we're going to build ourselves up, it results, that one of the results of that is delightfulness in our singing. When we as a church and we as Christians individually begin to start growing up in the Lord, and that's really what it means, is growing up in the Lord. When we start doing that, the kind of singing that we do, it causes the heart to be taught. And we're able then to learn things just from the music itself and from the words that are being, that the words of the song that were written down. And in our hymnal, Blessed Hymnal, we have some good hymns in there that songwriters wrote down. They penned these things from the heart of God. They wrote these things down because God led them and moved them to be able to have these things written down. And so, thank God for that. Also, this kind of singing causes the heart to be tender. Have you ever been singing a gospel song or hearing the hymns being sung and all of a sudden a tear start rolling down your face? I'm going to tell you, dear friends, that causes, when we sing these songs and we begin to get moved emotionally, that's when God can begin to work in our hearts. And if we have that kind of singing, if we have that kind of music in our church, it'll bless people when they come in. We had visitors here this morning. Listen, folks, when they come in and hear us singing like that, that's what's going to cause them to want to stay here. Amen? Because when someone visits our church, they visit for several reasons. But the main reason is they're looking for a place to worship God. Amen? Or else, they're looking for a place because they have a problem. And they need God to speak to them. They need God to help them. So, this kind of singing, this singing of edification, and because of edification, it causes our heart to be taught, it causes our heart to be tender, but it also causes our heart to be thankful. And that's why we should smile, amen, while we're singing these songs. I mean, these are happy songs. We're singing about heaven. Yes, we sing about sin, but because we're singing about sin because God has forgiven us of that sin, and we know because of that we're going to get to go to heaven, praise God. We're singing about the work that we're supposed to do, and just like that song that says, work for the night is coming, when man works no more. You know, we ought to be thankful for these things and be uplifting in that and lift our voices up. I mean, we don't get the hymnal and look at the words and, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I mean, sing it out. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Sing it out, folks. I mean, we need to make sure that when we're doing this, that the people beside of us, the people across the pew, know that we're thankful to be in the house of God. Know most of all that we're thankful for our salvation and the blessing that He's given unto us. And I'm not just talking about singing Amazing Grace. I'm talking about everyone we sing. Now, sometimes we sing some songs that even I don't know. Especially on Wednesday nights. And that's kind of strange because I know a bunch of songs, you know. But listen, friends, even then, once you begin to learn that song, that volume should come up. And still, even though we don't know that song, we don't sit there and say, well, I don't know this song. I'm just going to lip sync it. We can't do that. I mean, we're supposed to honor the Lord. That's what we're doing with our hymns and our songs. That's what He says here in this scripture. He says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's why the music part of our church is a part of our church. It is the place that God gives us, a place and time in the service to prepare our hearts for the message of God and prepare your heart for what God is about to say to you. One reason sometimes we don't get fed from the pulpit is because we didn't get fed in the singing, either because we didn't open up the book and sing it, because we didn't dish it out to ourselves, or because we just don't care. And apathy is one of the greatest problems that we have in our churches today. So sing it out, amen. I mean, let it rear back and open up, let your diaphragm get stretched, and just let it roll, amen. And thank the Lord for that. When I pastored in South Carolina, we had a lady. Her name was Alice Easterling. And Miss Alice, she had taught some of the people in the church to play piano. She was a piano teacher at one time. And Miss Alice would get on the piano, and we had a piano and we had an organ. And Miss Alice would get on the piano, and Miss Alice played real softly and light, you know. And then our pianist at the church at that time, Miss Alice had taught her, and she would get on the piano. She'd get down on that thing, you know, and just make it, you know, just roll. And Miss Alice would get so upset because she'd say, "You gotta play it softly. Don't hit the keys so hard, you know." Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. Miss Alice played well, and the other lady played well, but I can tell you, when the singing came from the congregation, it was from that harder hitting on the keys that people got into it, amen? So there's a time for that softer playing, you know, and then there's a time for that get down on it, you know. So singing is very important, and the music is very important, and what we sing is important. Notice what he says. He says, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This junk and trash that they have out today that they call gospel music, they call contemporary gospel and all this. Listen, folks, it's written with the music of the world, the syncopation, the way that it's written down, the tempos of this, it's written with the music of the world. And you got to understand something, too. The Bible tells us that the devil is the prince and power of the air, okay? And so when we listen to these songs on the radio and stuff, the devil, he's got a whole lot of control in that. And so we need to make sure that we're listening to good music, amen? And we're listening to good gospel music. Now, I know some of you listen to other types of music and things like that, and I'm not pushing you on that. But listen, dear friends, let the most music you listen to be gospel music, amen? Listen to good gospel preaching. Listen to that all week long, and I'll guarantee your heart will be ready on Wednesday night to come to church. Your heart will be ready to come on Sunday mornings as you hear these things. Now, I love a good old bluegrass song, you know, just about as good as anybody. But when you start talking about your wife leaving you and all this stuff like that, I don't care about that mess, you know. In country songs, you know, just about every one of them has something about a cornfield and a combine in it, you know. And so we got to be careful about stuff like this. It's either that or my wife left me or my husband left me, you know, and or hello, darling, you know. We got to be careful about the things we listen to and the things we put into our hearts and our minds, because God wants us to make sure that our minds are filled with spiritual songs and hymns and psalms. Amen. And I know a lot of the psalms in the Bible that have been put to music. Even some parts of that, even in our hymnals now. So edification requires dependence upon Scripture, but it also results in delightfulness in singing. And then number three tonight, edification results in direction in submission. Direction in submission. Look at verses 18 through 21 of chapter 3. He tells us here, now this is speaking about things in the home. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." Amen? If you are married, and wives, you have a husband, you are to submit yourself to that man, and that man alone. He goes on, and he says, "As it is fit in the Lord." This is something God commands. This is something that God rules on and God stands on. In verse 19, he does not just hit the women. He also hits the men. And actually, he hits the men a whole lot stronger than he hits the woman here when he says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Husbands are to love your wives. And that word love there means to cherish. To cherish them. You're to look at them in the fashion that they are the most beautiful, that they are the best thing that has ever happened to you. Amen? other than salvation. And so we look at that wife. We thank God for that wife. We do things that does not cause bitterness against them. Husbands, we are to be the head of the household. And that's why the wives are to submit themselves unto us. We're not to lord ourselves over them. We're not to bear down on them in that way, because then what does that do? It brings bitterness, doesn't it? And so we're to be careful. Marriage is a union. It's a partnership. It's things that we do together. Someone said, well, marriage is 50-50. No, marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. Amen? And I even go a little farther than that. I've always said 110 and 110, because there's always a little extra you can give. Amen? And sometimes it's hard to do that. But then, folks, you got to go back to the Bible and see what God says. So thank God for His blessings. This is one of the first things He teaches us here, because families start with who? Mama and Daddy. And if Mama and Daddy can't get along, it's going to be hard for the kids to get along with each other. And then you got fighting and fussing and everything else, you know. You come to church on Sunday morning and the kids are screaming in the back seat. You know, back there. And you turn to them and say, y'all be quiet. And sometimes, like Pastor said this morning, shut up! You know. And all kids are going to have disagreements. They're going to have these things. But listen, folks. If we start with God, and we start out with God, and end with God, and keep God going all throughout the middle, it'll wind up a whole lot better. I promise you that. So edification results in a direction by submission. Submitting produces control. Control of whom? The husband or the wife? The children? No. It produces control of God, because this is what God tells us to do. Submission also produces charity. Verses 19 says, husbands, love your wives. That's what he's talking about there. The love, it produces that charity in our lives. Not only then is love between the husband and the wife, and the wife to the husband, but then there's love there between the children and the parents, and the children to each other, and the parents to the children as well. Great love. And then in chapter 3 and verses 20 through 21, let's read that. Because families do not just have parents, do they? They also have children. So let's look at this. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. What did Pastor teach about this morning in Sunday school? Some of you don't know because you weren't here. So I'm going to tell you. He preached to us and taught us about chastening, about whipping. Amen. About what we needed to make sure that we're doing. So what does he say? Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So what's he talking about here? He's saying that young people, children, they need to make sure that they are obeying their parents in every single thing. And why? Because it pleases God. Now, young people that are here tonight, I know there's just a few of you, but answer me this question. Do you love mom and daddy? Yes. Yes, you do. Do you want to make them happy? Yes. There's one shaking her head real good, and the other one saying, I think so. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you want to please the Lord? Well, that's the most important one, isn't it? And if we please the Lord, then we'll please mom and daddy. And mom and daddy will be happy. Amen. And so we need to obey. Now, adults, you had to do this when you were children, right? But just because you're an adult does not mean you're still not a child of somebody. Amen. And, you know, when your parents are still on this earth, you know, our parents, I still respected my parents, and I respected the information they gave me when they were on this earth and the leadership they gave me. I mean, everything might not have been right in their lives, but I still respected them and honored them until the day they died, and I still honor them this day. We need to always make sure we love our parents, because they may not always be with you. Love your parents, take care of your parents, and help your parents. Listen to them. Mom and daddy sometimes tell us some things that make us mad, don't they? You know. I mean, you're not getting a slushy tonight when we stop at the service station. That was for one person alone. Well, listen, it's okay, because maybe next time you'll get two slushies, you know. And maybe you're not getting one because maybe you disobeyed. Maybe you said something you weren't supposed to do, or maybe you talked back when you weren't supposed to talk back. Children, obey your parents in all things. Remember that. I want y'all to memorize that. Amen? They said amen in their hearts under their breath. So, chastening. Submission produces chastening in our lives. As Pastor said this morning, I can tell you this. Children are not chastened. They're not spanked. They're not reprimanded like they should be anymore. I'm just like Pastor. I thought when Pastor was talking this morning in Sunday school about the way that he grew up and how he was reprimanded, I thought to myself, he must be my long-lost brother, because it sounded like he had my daddy, you know, and my mama. Oh, listen, folks. There was a time in our world, in our society, when you didn't think twice about reprimanding your children no matter where you were. And nowadays, it seemed like we have to worry about it. We go to the grocery store and our child disobeys us, and we pop their hand or pop their bottom, you know. And keep this in mind. The bottom is for spanking. Amen. Not the face. Amen. You should never hit that child in the face. You should never hurt that child. Remember that God gave us a place. There's a lot of padding back there, especially on me. And so remember. Oh, man. Brother, bless your heart. When we're spanking, remember how we spank. And don't take your anger and your aggression at something else out on your child. You know, children are to obey us, but we're not to beat our kids. Amen? Unless they need to beat them. And sometimes they do. No, you know what I mean when I say that. So, honor the Lord in this. Parents and children both have to honor the Lord. That's why he says in verse 21, he says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. I mean, you know, daddy's standing there beating your bottom, you know, and you're getting angrier and angrier and angrier. Arr, I'll get him. I'll show him when I get old enough, you know. When I get to be a teenager, I'll be out of this house, and I'll be away from mom and daddy, and I won't have to worry about this no more. You ever heard something like that? You ever said anything like that yourself? Be careful. Why did it happen? Because evidently mom and daddy didn't listen to the word of God, and they provoked their children to wrath. Now, notice this. It's in that last part of that verse, it says, lest they be discouraged. I always wanted my children to be encouraged, and I did spank them and did whip them. And I'm thankful today that I have two children that I'm very proud of. I love both our children, and they have done very well in life, both of them. They have their own problems just like anyone, and sometimes their problems mount up on them just like others, and they have stresses, and I do appreciate the prayers that you've prayed for our son. But let me say this to you tonight. When you raise your children the way that God says to raise them, there'll be the submission there, there'll be the love there, and there won't be the discouragement there. Amen. So let's move on. Edification requires dependence upon Scripture. It results in delightfulness in singing. It also results in direction by submission. And then edification results in dutifulness in serving. In serving. We are called to be servants of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we get saved, God wants us to serve Him. Amen? And so look at chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. He says, servants, and that's who we are, obey in all things your masters. Who's our master? Our master is Jesus Christ, according to the flesh. In other words, what we're supposed to do in the flesh, we're supposed to obey our master. Now, there are things that we are supposed to do in the flesh, like praying and not forsaking the church and taking care of our families and working. All these things. I could go on with a whole list of this stuff. And he says this. He says, things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. We do the things for our masters, and sometimes our master might be our boss at work, you know. We got to honor that man also, or that woman, whomever they may be. And sometimes they may ask us to do things that we don't actually really care for or that we like, but it's what our boss has told us to do. Now, do not do it according to what he says here with eye service. Do it with singleness of heart. And when you do it with singleness of heart and you fear the Lord, the blessings will come. You may not always like it, but God says that we must do it. So service ought to be done consistently as unto Christ. Verse 22 talks about that. Service ought to be done conscientiously to our Christ. Verse 23. And then look in verse 24. Verse 24 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now notice there his whole name is not put there. It's Lord Jesus, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ. That gives us the Lord Christ. He's telling us there who Christ is and what he is, that we're supposed to honor him and serve him alone. And he leaves the personality of this out, but he gives us who Christ is and what he is. And so we are to conscientiously do these things unto him, unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be committed in that as we do it. So the results of edification. Edification in closing results in a difference in speaking. When you begin to build up yourself spiritually and get more spiritually minded, chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6 tells us what happens then. In chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2, he says that what happens is we speak differently unto the servants. In other words, we speak differently to each other. Notice what he says. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We are speaking in a different way, you see. There is a different attitude that comes upon us then. There's a different thought process that we have. In verses 3 through 6, he tells us there that we are going to speak differently as servants. He says, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. You know what he's talking about there? He's actually saying, and I'm going to paraphrase it, he's simply saying, we pray that God might open a door for us to share the gospel with someone. Amen? That's what that is saying unto us, that we might have the utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. And the mystery of Christ is nothing more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the reason he puts mystery there is because these early Christians, especially the Jews, they did not understand Jesus Christ. They did not accept Jesus Christ as being the Son of God, that he was and is the Savior. And so it became a mystery unto them. And so we are praying that God might give us utterance, that we might go out and speak to not only Gentiles, but also to the Jews. In other words, to anyone that has a misunderstanding about things or doesn't have an understanding at all. That brings a difference in our speaking, doesn't it? A difference in our prayer life. We speak of the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then we speak with the grace of God. We ask God to help us to speak. Lord, what am I to say when I get to this house and I knock on this door and this person comes to the door and answers and they got dogs barking in the background and the TV's blaring and you see cans of beer sitting up on the counter as you're looking through into the door. What am I supposed to say, Father? And you pray and ask God. And God will open up that mind, God will open up that heart, and God will put words in your mouth and thoughts in your process, that then you can speak to that person and encourage that person. What a blessing, you know. And know this, you know, that at any time somebody could come knock on your door, and hopefully it's not one of them Jehovah's Witnesses, you know. But if it is a Jehovah's Witness, you tell them this simply. When they knock on your door and ask you, that can they share their information, you say, well, sure, come right on in. I'll listen to your information for 15 minutes if you'll listen to mine for 15 minutes. And I'll guarantee you what'll happen, they'll turn tail and run and get out of the house. Debbie knows this for a fact, that when we lived in North Carolina, we had some come knock on our door. They came in, three of them. And there was a young young boy with them, or young man, actually, and they began talking to us. And I told them the very same thing, that you can, you tell me all your process if you're going to listen to me. And they said, okay. Well, he began to listen. They left and went out and got in the van and sat there. And then before, he's under conviction now listening to me, before he leaves, they come back in and get him and tell him it's time to go. Listen, folks, God will give you the words to say if you'll just listen to the Lord. If you'll just listen to what God has to say to you. And you won't have to worry about things, because God will help you through it. But it's all because we get built up. You build your muscles up, you know. We used to eat all them cereals and everything, you know, that build our muscles up and stuff like that. We talk about, there's big things about protein on the news and on the television, on the radio today, pills that you can take to make your muscles grow and all this. Oh, listen, folks. The one that you need to make sure that you worry about and keep in your heart and in your mind is not building this muscle up, but building the spiritual muscle up. Amen. And when you build the spiritual muscle, you not only edify yourself, but you edify all those around you. And that's what God is speaking about. Amen. And that's the end of the message. That was the end of what God wanted to tell you tonight. Amen. Lift yourself up and be right with God. Now, let me ask you this. I said it was the end of the message. But a person who has been built up, they have responsibilities, don't they? Responsibilities to do what God's called them to do. And so, let's make sure that our responsibility is met. We honor those responsibilities. We honor these things we've talked about tonight. And let's build up spiritually. Amen. And if any of y'all want to feel my muscle at the end of the service, you cannot, because it's not there. But listen, hopefully you understand the spiritual muscle, because that's where it's the most important. Amen. Let's all stand and have a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, you are, again, better to us than we deserve. And I thank you, Father, for the spiritual strength that you give us. Lord, the teaching that you give us in your word to help us, Father, to be grown up Christians, Lord, to grow in Christ like we're supposed to be and not be babes in Christ. And so, Father, we ask now that you might help us all to glean these special truths from this lesson tonight and honor you. These things now we ask in Jesus' name, for his sake alone. Amen. Well, God bless each one of you. You are at liberty. I know y'all thinking, well, preacher's letting us out early tonight. What's going on? Amen.